The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
So the dark web and real estate, it's a chilling combination, isn't it? The sheer scale of potential damage is unsettling, to say the least.
Absolutely. I mean, real estate is often seen as this this bedrock of stability, a safe investment. But the dark web, it throws all that into question, yeah?
Precisely. It creates this invisible property market operating outside the bounds of regulation and, frankly, basic ethics. And the information we have here about money laundering and fraud, it's a deep rabbit hole.
It is. And I think what's particularly concerning is how easily criminals can exploit this sector. We're talking about vast sums of money being, well, washed clean, essentially.
Right. And the methods they use are constantly evolving. Think about it. Property fraud, shell companies, trade-based laundering. It's a complex web of deceit.
Yeah. And the consequences are real. People lose their homes, their savings, their livelihoods. It's devastating.
It is. And then there's the impact on the global economy. This illicit activity distorts markets, undermines financial institutions. The ripple effect is enormous.
Huge. So where do we even begin to unravel this? I mean, the Yazoo land scandal, for example, shows how far back this kind of fraud goes.
Well, that's a good starting point, actually. It highlights the historical precedent, the inherent vulnerabilities in the system, bribery, political influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a familiar story even centuries later.
Right. And then fast forward to today and we have the added layer of the dark web. It's like, row, the perfect storm for real estate crime.
Exactly. The anonymity, the cryptocurrency transactions, it makes it incredibly difficult to track these criminals.
It does. And that's why we need to understand how they operate, their methods, their networks, everything. We need to shine a light on this invisible market.
We do. And that's what we're going to do today. We'll delve into the specifics of how the dark web facilitates real estate crime, from the initial placement of dirty money to the final integration into the legitimate market. We'll examine cases like the Hoyani scandal, explore the role of cryptocurrency mixers like Tornado Cash, and discuss the challenges of regulating NFTs in this context.
And we'll talk to experts who can provide insights into this shadowy world. Cybersecurity specialists, former insiders, people who have seen firsthand how this operates.
Right. Because only by understanding the extent of the problem can we begin to find solutions. We need to protect ourselves, our investments, and the integrity of the global financial system.
Absolutely. So let's get started. This is a conversation that needs to be had, and we're here to have it.
So we were talking about the dark web's impacts on real estate and Hoyani. Well, frankly, the scale of it is staggering. We mentioned Hoyani, remember?
Oh, right, the online marketplace, the one described as the largest illicit online marketplace to have ever operated, wasn't it?
Exactly. And that description comes from Elliptic, a blockchain analytics firm, so it carries some weight. The U.S. Treasury Department even identified Hoyani Group as a primary money laundering concern, tried to cut them off from the U.S. financial system entirely.
Wow. That's a quality, pretty big deal. So how does real estate fit into all this?
Well, that's where things get interesting. Real estate is, unfortunately, a perfect vehicle for money laundering. It's seen as a staple investment, a bedrock of, legitimacy, which makes it ideal for disguising illicit funds.
I see. So you're saying criminals use real estate to clean their dirty money, but how exactly does that work? I mean, it's not like they're buying houses with stacks of cash, are they?
Not usually, no. It's much more sophisticated than that. They use shell companies, trusts, complex transactions, all designed to obscure the origin of the funds. It's a classic case of layering, as it's called.
Layering? What's that?
It's one of the three stages of money laundering. First, there's placement, where the dirty money enters the financial system. Then comes layering, where the money is moved around, often internationally, through various accounts and investments to make it difficult to trace. And finally, integration, where the now clean money is reintroduced into the legitimate economy, often through seemingly legitimate businesses.
Oh, I get it. So real estate is often used in the layering and integration stages?
Precisely. And the dark web facilitates all of this. It provides the anonymity, the cryptocurrency transactions, the connections to illicit networks. It's a game changer for money launderers.
Mm-hmm. Right. The anonymity is a key factor, isn't it? It makes it so much harder to track these criminals.
It does. And that's why we need to understand how they operate, their methods, their networks, everything. We need to shine a light on this invisible market, as we said earlier. And that includes understanding the role of cryptocurrency mixers, NFTs, and even online gaming in all of this.
It's a complex web, for sure, but we need to unravel it for the sake of, well, everyone, the victims of these crimes, the global economy, the integrity of the system itself.
So, Rachel, we're wading into some murky waters here talking about money laundering. The sheer volume of illicit funds flowing through the global financial system is unsettling. Trillions, we're talking.
Trillions, Mark. It's almost unfathomable. And the FinCEN files, as we discussed, really pulled back the curtain on some of this activity. $2 trillion in suspicious transactions. It's mind-boggling.
It is. And what's even more disturbing is the diversity of the methods used, from traditional banking systems to cryptocurrencies, NFTs, even online gaming. It's a constantly evolving landscape.
Yeah. Remember the Fortnite example? Stolen credit cards used to buy in-game currency, then resold for clean money?
Yeah.
It's ingenious in a twisted way.
Ingenious and alarming. It shows how adaptable these criminals are. They're always looking for new vulnerabilities, new ways to exploit the system.
Right. And it's not just small-time criminals. We're talking major institutions, global banks, even governments implicated in these schemes. The Danske Bank scandal, for instance. 200 billion euros laundered, allegedly, from Russian sources. That's a systemic issue.
Absolutely. And then there's the Swedbank case, potentially $4.3 billion. These aren't isolated incidents. They point to a much larger problem.
They do. And the consequences are far-reaching. It undermines the integrity of the entire financial system, fuels organized crime, and facilitates.
Well, everything from drug trafficking to terrorism.
Exactly. We talked about Dubai Islamic Bank and their alleged involvement with Al-Qaeda before 9/11.
That's the extreme end of the spectrum, but it underscores the potential consequences of unchecked money laundering.
It does. And the methods are becoming increasingly sophisticated. Layering, shell companies, cryptocurrency mixers like Torito Cash.
It's a complex web of deceit designed to obscure the origin of the funds.
Right. And the anonymity offered by the dark web exacerbates the problem. It makes it incredibly difficult to track these criminals and hold them accountable.
It does. And that's why we need to be vigilant. We need to understand how these operations work, how the money flows, and what can be done to disrupt them. The Corporate Transparency Act in the U.S., for example, is a step in the right direction, targeting anonymous shell corporations.
It is. But it's just one piece of the puzzle. We need a global effort, a coordinated approach to tackle this issue. Increased regulation, enhanced due diligence, better international cooperation. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a multi-pronged strategy.
Absolutely. And we need to keep shining a light on these activities, exposing the methods, the networks, the individuals involved. Because only by understanding the full extent of the problem can we begin to find solutions. And that's what we're trying to do here, Mark. One conversation at a time.
So we've been discussing how criminals exploit real estate for money laundering, but the digital age has introduced a whole new layer of complexity with things like NFTs.
NFTs, yeah. Non-fungible tokens, digital dot art, essentially, or JOT collectibles. It's still a bit of a wild west out there, isn't it?
It is, and that's exactly what makes it attractive for illicit activities. A Chainalysis report from 2022 highlighted significant wash trading and money laundering within the NFT market.
Wash trading. So that's where someone buys and sells the same asset to inflate the price artificially?
Precisely. It creates a false sense of value, attracting unsuspecting investors. And it can be used to mask the movement of illicit funds.
I see. So it's not just about buying a digital ape for millions of dollars. It's about using that transaction to clean dirty money.
Exactly. The U.S. Treasury Department, in their study on money laundering through art, touched on this as well. High-value art, whether physical or digital, can be used to obscure the origin of funds.
Right, and the anonymity of the dark web makes it even easier, I imagine.
Absolutely. Cryptocurrency mixers like Tornado Cash further complicate things. They make it incredibly difficult to trace the flow of money.
And didn't Chainalysis report a surge in mixer usage in 2022? That's concerning.
Very concerning. It suggests that criminals are actively seeking ways to obfuscate their transactions. And the Treasury Department's blacklisting of certain crypto platforms, like the one mentioned in the New York Times article, highlights the ongoing struggle to regulate this space.
It does. It's a cat-and-mouse game, isn't it? Regulators trying to keep up with the ever-evolving methods of, well, financial crime.
It is. And the implications are significant, from undermining the integrity of financial systems to facilitating terrorism. The stakes are high.
They are. So where do we go from here? How do we combat this invisible market?
Well, increased regulation is certainly part of the solution. The Corporate Transparency Act, for example, aims to shed light on anonymous shell corporations. But it's just a start.
Right. We need international cooperation, better due diligence, enhanced... Well, everything. It's a complex problem with no easy answers.
It is. But we need to keep asking the questions, keep pushing for greater transparency, keep shining a light on these shadowy practices, because only then can we hope to make a difference.
And that's what we're trying to do here. One conversation, one podcast, one step at a time. Thanks for joining us.